And then you get to experience Durango and the whole creative process of doing a new play with a writer, and it's never been read or produced before, and you get in that whole collaborative room and you're kind of working it out through the week, and then you perform it for a very appreciative and attentive audience here in Durango. I will say that. They really do pay attention, and it's just very rewarding. And then you're in Durango, and then you go to the hot springs, and then you get ice cream on the street, and so all they have to do is ask me.
All right.
I know this time they texted you with pretty short notice,
well,
it sounds like.
literally an actor had some kind of situation where he couldn't make it. So I got a text on Saturday afternoon. I just happened to look at my phone. Hi, Ray. This is Felicia from Durango. Could you get on a plane tomorrow? An actor. And I just wrote, sure. I didn't ask about the play. I didn't ask who else was in it. I just said, sure. And then we arranged flights and
so cool.
Wow.
Although I did have a 7-hour layover in Denver.
Oh man. That'll
happen.
To
wait 7 hours for a 47-minute flight.
Frustrating.
That was a little frustrating, but I'm here.
Well, this year you're starring in There Are Monsters as Theodore, a wealthy man caught in a very eerie situation. I would ask you what drew you to this particular script and character, but that wasn't your choice.
No, it wasn't. Usually it's the material. But as it turns out, I'm very pleased to do it because it's a fun, fun piece.
Well, and it's like a thriller, right? And you never see that on stage.
No, it's very unique. It feels like you're doing a film when we've been rehearsing it. It's got that much going on, but it's fun. I think it's going to work out well. I'd love to see it produced because there'd be so many special effects and sound, and the atmosphere becomes, and that it all takes place in one house, and the house is kind of a character as well.
Okay,
so it would. It would be fun to do, and the actors are just terrific that I'm working with.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, so without giving away any spoilers, can you share what intrigues you about the psychological tension that there is in this show, and what's different about this story compared to your previous Playfest roles?
Wow. This one is very different. This one's very complex because it is a thriller, and you're never really sure. There's a lot of power struggles. There's two couples involved in this, and it all unfolds very slowly as to what the situation is, how this other couple ends up being here, and what their relationship is. And it's a real thing of good and evil, and who's good and who's evil, and how it manifests itself, and how maybe we're all capable of a little bit of evil.
Okay.
I'm looking at you right now.
Ooh, all right.
There might be a little evil in there somewhere.
A little bit.
He pointed at me, by the way.
I did. I've got to remember I'm on radio.
It's going to be very exciting, very different there. But so you've given some standout performances before in Arthur Goldman's Birthday Party and All That Remains. Would you say that this year's play is a departure in tone or challenge, or are you just happy to keep contributing no matter what the role is?
I love supporting playwrights. I think it's kind of a lost art. When Hollywood started, it was always New York playwrights that were writing the screenplays, and then that's been kind of lost. But through Dan, especially, I worked in a play reading series with Dan Lauria for years in L.A., and it was always cultivating new plays. And there's a beauty to that, and because playwrights have a chance to go deeper to a character, maybe writing a television show. Although since that, what was that show on HBO? Oh, The Sopranos. that kind of changed television where it can go.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was on cable.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it was one of those early cable shows. But I think it has a little resurgence. I was on it. I'm sorry. Who said that? But just helping playwrights, because theater's very exciting. I try to do a play a year.
Okay.
If I can. I like doing new plays very much, and I like doing old. I spent 4 months doing A View from the Bridge, Arthur Miller's play, last year, which was a classic, and it's just a different experience working on a play that's a classic where you can't touch a line or a word.
Right.
And then working with a new play where you're working with the writer and you could kind of move things around and you ask questions and then they answer you or they help you or they move it. It's a great collaborative experience. But the difference in the thing, it's funny, there was a similar thing the last two I did, both of them, I was in love with my best friend's wife in both of those last two, and that doesn't play in this one.
Not in this one.
Not in that. Well, there's a little bit of a flirtation, but that's something I try to put into every role I play. I'm flirting now. I don't know if anybody knows.
Well, so you've had an incredibly diverse career across television, film, and theater. What does the stage offer you as an actor that TV and film does not?
Well, I love the rehearsal process. You know, for me, when you're doing theater, it is all about the process because you get to take the time and discover things within the play. And then it's the immediacy. And then it's there's something about just throwing it out there and then it's done, whatever happened. You know, the audience, any particular audience has that particular experience of that night, sure. that show, that afternoon, that the next audience might not have because the energy is different. You know, the audience adds something to it. So it's just a unique, experience for something to be so immediate and it could be so different and it's so alive and then it's over and then you do it again and you try to keep it fresh and it's a new audience who has a different response. You know, it's always interesting. You do a play in an afternoon and something gets huge laughs. Uh-huh. And you do it exactly the same at night and, you know, there's crickets.
Yeah.
You know, and you just wonder. But audiences have a particular personality. It always amazes me how each audience has their own personality and it's the totality of the audience. I don't know how that happens. It's kind of a mystery. But as an actor on stage to kind of have to live within that, it's exciting.
It is different slightly with the audience, depending on how they are. They feed off of each other, which then
right.
feeds the actors.
Right. And then,
and
I mean, if they're laughing, then you have to hold and you have to, you know, hang on to that emotion. And it changes the whole kind of rhythm. And then that changes how the other actor reacts.
Yeah.
So it's just alive. It's a magnificent experience. Yeah.
Well, you're probably the second most recognized face behind Jesse K in Durango. thanks to your role as Little Carmine on The Sopranos.
Did I mention that?
But have you been recognized here? Do people ever yell out Carmine on Main Street or anything?
It hasn't happened on Main Street so much, but you know, in the Denver airport when I was waiting for 7 hours, it happened a lot.
I think around here, if you see someone kind of famous, you're just like, oh, that looks like Little Carmine, but it must not be him.
I get that a lot. Uh-huh. Did we go to school together? I'll tell a quick story.
Yeah.
Years ago when I was on The Sopranos, I went to a restaurant with some of my high school friends who I'm still very close with, and was sitting in a Chinese restaurant in the corner, and I see two young girls that keep looking at me. And they get up from the table and they don't go to leave and they start walking towards me. So I say to my two old friends of 50 years, oh, hey guys, watch this. And the two girls walk over and they say, don't we know you? And I say, yeah, maybe. She goes, you sold us paint on 72nd Street. Yes, you work at the hardware store. And it's like, no. And of course, my friends never let me forget that.
Yeah.
Well, there are monsters such as on themes of wealth, trust, and intrusion. As an actor, how do you tap into those emotions, undercurrents, especially in a live, intimate setting like Playfest?
Well, the challenge for me is tapping into the wealth. You know, as an actor's career, it's up and down. Well, you know, what I always do, especially in these situations, is I just trust the writer. I trust the words on the page, and I just let the words take me. You know, that's the first step when I'm working on something. I just see where the rhythm and the language and the situation take me. And then if I need to do more work to kind of fill it in to understand what the wealth means or the power. But generally with good writing, the words will take you there. And that's what I usually trust first, especially in such a truncated situation. You know, we're only rehearsing for like 4 days.
Right. And it's real quick.
And then we're up. And of course, I had never even read the play until Monday morning. So that's been a challenge. But there's something fun about that. It's just like going by the seat of your pants and seeing what happens. And, you know, we won't know what it's going to be like until we do it. And then the next time we do it, it might be, you know, because we do it twice, it might be different the next time. So that's the fun of it, actually.
Right.
But it's trusting the writer.
Well, finally, for Playfest fans who have followed you for the past 3 years, what would you say to encourage them to come see this year's production? And what makes There Are Monsters a must-see?
Well, besides me being in it.
Right. Yeah.
That was so, sir. it's a very unique play. It's kind of like a film, and you never really know what's going on. There's a lot of intrigue and some scary stuff in it, and it's just very unique for a stage. And to see how we could create that in a reading and how that comes off, that's the challenge. But going to any one of these plays is a beautiful thing, because sometimes you just get to hear a play that you never would have heard before. And I'm still thinking about the ones I saw last year way more than the ones I was in.
Yeah.
You know, I was so affected by some of them. And it's just a unique. It's a very unique experience to see actors and a writer and a director work on something, and then you get to be the audience, and then you have the input because there's always the talk back afterwards. So yeah. That's a good reason right there, because what the audience comes away with and questions you is really informative for the writer,
true.
You know, and the actor. Yeah. So. It's a great, you become part of the collaboration. We've been working for it on a week. The writer's probably been working on it for years.
Sure.
And you get to put your two cents in, and very often that's the most important part of it at the end there.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes an impact. The audience gets to say what worked for them, what didn't. And
what confused them, where they needed a little more information.
And that can affect what the play becomes.
Totally.
In the long term.
Yeah, I think every writer goes back after hearing the feedback and reevaluates and sees what needs work. Yeah.
Last year, Hop the A, they were talking about a bad Popeyes, and I had to give that critique at the end that's not a real thing. There's no such thing as a bad Popeyes. So hopefully they changed
that.
They changed. The script.
How great was that play?
That was great. Yeah.
I loved that.
I'm a little sad. I mean, I think a lot of people really didn't want it to end the way that it did.
Yes, I remember there was one gentleman in particular.
Very upset.
We won't have to get into that. That was the most unique audience.
He was like arguing with them, like, no, you will not end this play this way.
May I say this? I think he told the writer should jump in front of a train. That's literally what he said. After writing that ending, you should jump in front of a train yourself. And I was like, And the whole, again, harsh. That was what we were talking about before, how a whole audience ends up having one personality. Yeah. The entire audience just gasped.
Yeah.
It was like, and then there was just quiet and this tension is, how is this going to play out?
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it's unifying. There's something about a unifying experience in theater that's a one-time thing, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
well, did they tell you what time your showings are?
Yeah, no, they probably did. But I just when they say go downstairs, I go downstairs. I get in the car, and there I am.
It looks like we've got 3 p.m. on Friday.
Okay.
And it looks like we have 7 p.m. on Saturday
are
the two show times for yours there. So,
and they one of them, I think, is already sold out. So,
oh, okay.
Well, that should give you a clue to get to the other one.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. I'm going to guess the 7 p.m. mm-hmm. Saturday one is probably the one that's sold out. But get online, though. Check it all out. DurangoPlayFest.org is where you can get your tickets and details. Don't miss this very unique, one-of-a-kind experience that we get to have in our little mountain town here. With all these famous actors everywhere.
Yeah, and if you see someone around that you think sold you paint.
It's probably Little Carmine.
It probably is.
Well, I did work in a liquor store for 8 years, too, so okay. Maybe I sold you a bottle of Smirnoff.
Oh, man. Ray Abruzzo, everybody.
Ciao.
Ciao. All right. Thanks for joining us, man.
My pleasure.
All right. We've got more on the way. Stick around on Ready Without Rules.
It's 107.9.
92.9.
The Point.